Take your Bibles at Matthew chapter 5 this evening, and we're going to continue where we left off this morning. Now, you have an opportunity tonight to make the sermon shorter, because usually when I do a second part, I do a little bit of review, especially some people might not have been in the service this morning, because in Children's Church, different places, and sometimes I get re-preaching the message, and I don't get done quite on time. So tonight, we're looking at a solid foundation, new series we're starting Sunday mornings, going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we looked at also Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27, and the parable that Jesus gave, that whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man which built this house upon the rock. But then also the second part, and we know what happened, is that he built his house upon the rock, the winds blew and the floods came, and beat upon that house, and it didn't fall, did it? It stood. But whoso heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the winds came, and the rains came, the floods came, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And so that's the whole premise of this series. What are we basing our Christian life on? What are we basing our life on, period? And when he says these sayings of mine, we look at those and we're like, well, of course, all that Jesus taught, but specifically, this is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. So he's saying specifically, in the sermon I just preached to you, these are foundational truths to our life. And we see that in the Sermon on the Mount, as we go through in the coming weeks, that Jesus goes through almost every area of life in a practical way and applies how we're to live for him. But the very beginning, verses 1 through 11 of chapter 5 are the Beatitudes, 9 footers for the Christian life. Now, this is where you can make the sermon shorter, all right, by telling me what footer number 1 was. What's that? Poor in spirit, which is? Humility. Wonderful, all right. Made the sermon 5 minutes shorter. Okay, right? Humbleness, humility. Being humble enough to be taught, humble enough to admit you're wrong, humble enough to serve the Lord, amen, that we're humble, willing to be instructed. Because if we're not going to be humble, then the whole rest of the sermon's in vain, because we're not going to listen. All right, what's the second footer of the foundation, right? What's the second? Mourning, okay, when that's called, what do we call that? Contrition, right? Repentance, another way we could put it there. Mourning, repentance over sin, seeking to be right with God, willing to be close to God, quick to obey, quick to admit failure, quick to ask God for forgiveness. 1 John 1:9. Very good. Another 5 minutes shorter. All right. So footer number 3, what was that? Meekness, meekness. Now who remembers what that means? That's right, to bear up under injury, right? And that sometimes that we call it long suffering. There's a connection there between all of those, and we know why Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth, because he had to bear up under a lot of injury. And many times when we bear up under injury, we can have a fleshly response and get angry, get upset. But willing to endure some things for the cause of Christ. And that comes in a little later on this evening. All right, another 5 minutes shorter. Excellent, we're doing good. Now we've made the sermon 20 minutes shorter so far, 15 minutes. All right. What's number 4? All right. That's right. All right, a spiritual desire, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, having a spiritual desire, desiring spiritual things, not desiring the things of this life, but to ingest spiritually healthy food, which is the Word of God, preaching, prayer time. And this is perhaps the greatest struggle for this time period that we live in, the age that we live in, is not ingesting things that are not healthy for us. We have so many things that we can ingest information-wise, don't we, today? We have our smartphones, we have our entertainment, all of those things. There are a lot of things that we can ingest and we spend our time in, but we need to have that spiritual desire. Wonderful. All right, what's number 5? Mercy, that's right. Not giving in to vengeance, right? Giving place to wrath, the Bible also calls that we are to show mercy to other people. We see the Good Samaritan. the good Samaritan in that parable, that there was a priest that went by, looked out and went by on the other side, a Levite went by, but they didn't show mercy. They were busy with their business. But what, the Samaritan came and he showed mercy and had pity on him, showed mercy and showed compassion on him. We're to show mercy on our neighbors, right? No matter how late they keep us up at night with the loud music, right? They need Jesus. That's what that shows you, amen? To have mercy on them. But also, mercy is due to being humble. We realize our position, that we have been forgiven a great debt, and we need to forgive that of other people as well and show mercy. Be willing to show, and we will be shown mercy in return, all right? Number six, that's where we left off this morning. Purity. Purity, excellent. Verse number eight, purity in mind and body and intention and action and word, and the result of those that are pure, they shall see God. Amen. You're going to see God work, see God do wonderful things. All right, that brings us to verse number nine. So we're in Matthew chapter 5. We'll begin in verse number 3. I'm just going to begin there and read down to verse number 9, review where we're at. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, Brother Cole, if you could put that picture of that house that had a weak foundation, all of these things are foundational principles. And I want us to keep this picture in our mind this week, that what foundation are you building in your family, in your kids, in your life? Because none of us want our kids to end up like this. Amen? None of us want our spouse to end up like this. We don't want to end up like that. Amen? I don't think any of us desires plans to turn out like that. But you know what? The devil's really good at selling counterfeit building material. Selling material. Oh, this is just as solid a foundation as the Bible. There is no rock but Christ in His Word. And we need to understand that. There's no substitute here. There's no easier road, and we have to get away from, well, maybe there's a different way. That's just your take on it, preacher. No, this is Jesus' take on it, and His is the only way. And we need to make sure that's rock solid. This is what must be done. Jesus said, I am the way. So we need to take away any alternates out of our mind tonight. And we need to remind ourselves, I don't want to end up like that. You know, many times we use the power of positive thinking, right? We look at what we desire to be in the future. You know what? Also, it's a very good idea to look at some things. God gives us some negative examples here. Didn't He give a positive and a negative at the end of this in Matthew chapter 7? A house built upon this is going to flourish and is going to stand the test. But a house not built on this, anything else. And what is the sand? Anything else that's not what Jesus said. There's no substitutes. There's no cutting corners. There's no easy way. There's no app for that. Amen? And that's what we need to get down. By the way, young people, can I encourage you with something? Christian life is some good old hard work. Amen? There's no substitutes. There's no shortcuts. If you try them, then you're going to end up like this. Don't have shortcuts. So tonight, let's look at number 7, verse number 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, this has two aspects to it. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 18. Because as God's children, we ought to be winning souls to Christ. Remember, before we were saved, we were the enemies of God. We were at war with God because of our sin. We stood against God. But when we're saved, now we're part of the family of God. Our position has changed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're no longer the enemy of God. We've received the adoption of sons. But now has been entrusted to us a very special ministry, a very special responsibility. And 2 Corinthians 5:18 says this, All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ultimate meaning of being a peacemaker is showing people how they can have peace with God. Amen. Showing them how to be saved. Showing them that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross for their sin so that we might have peace with God, so that we might be reconciled to God. That's one aspect of it. Another aspect of it is, guess what? Do we seek to strive to make peace with those around us? You know what? There's some people that have personalities that go with this. There's some people that don't have this type of personality. And you know what I'm talking about? That there is a, we have to be careful. Can I encourage you with this tonight? We've been entrusted with the truth. Amen? We've been entrusted with the truth. And we need to stand for truth. However, we should not use the truth in a way that is going to compromise the testimony of Christ. So what are you talking about, preacher? There's a way to present the truth, and there's also a way that we can be proud and be right, but we're not making peace with those around us. All right, there's a very careful. Now, that doesn't mean we clam up, oh, I want to make peace, so I'm just going to be quiet. No, but we, that's more of an attitude of how we carry ourselves. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another, building up peacefulness. You know, we ought to be at peace with those that are brothers and sisters in Christ in the church, right? We shouldn't be causing strife. Instead, we should be seeking out peace. A peacemaker, an envoy, if you will, of peace, the peace of God. Don't we have peace with God? Amen. And you know, we can be that messenger of peace and bring peace into other people's life and seek to see people reconciled either to ourselves or to one another. Amen. There are people also that we see that is with Barnabas, the son of reconciliation. That is, wait a minute, sorry. What was that? Not reconciliation. What was it? Encouragement. What was it? Oh, man. I forget the name. The word. Do you remember the word? Wife. My wife can save me here with this one. Barnabas, the son of consolation. There we go. All right. Meaning encouragement. Goes along with what I was thinking. I said reconciliation for some reason. All right, son of consolation. Okay, the sleeping pill or the NyQuil hasn't worn off yet. Okay, from last night. But hate when you get on a roll and you say the wrong word. All right, we got to get going again. But the son of I was still going to say it the wrong way. Son of consolation, encouragement. That's what he did. He encouraged people. Also, we need to have that ministry, that desire of reconciling people to Christ, but also to each other. Have you ever been in the middle of a family situation, you know, where maybe a brother or sister or somebody, they're fighting and arguing, and you're the one that has to step in and say, okay, maybe you're the older sibling, maybe you're the younger sibling, but you step in and say, hey, we don't have to have this disagreement, amen? We need to just love each other because Christ loves us, and you want to step in, and you want to, some people call it smoothing it over, but you want to have peace, amen? God wants us to be peacemakers. We need to be fire extinguishers, not fire starters. You know what? There's certain people that like trouble. There's certain people that they like to go around and they like to start. They just like to strike the match and then walk away and not worry about what happens after they strike the match. Right? There's people like that. My mom had a name for those type of people. She called them potsters. All right? Ever heard of that? Who have heard of that? What do they do? Well, they stir the pot. They stir it up. They light the match, and they kind of stir it around, you know. Ever see that? Sometimes your children will do that. You know what? Things are going great. They kind of come on in, and you can tell the look they have on their face. They're going to do something, you know. Hey, you know, oh, did you tell him what you said about him yesterday? What did you say? I didn't say anything. Oh, maybe I mistook the wrong person. You know, and then they just walk out of the room. And what do you mean? What did you say about me? Right? Well, just stir the pot, cause trouble, because some people like to do that. I don't know why. They like to just be the little seed of information going through. Oh, that's what gossip does, by the way. That stirs the pot. You know what? Just giving a little bit of information. Oh, you know, I was just giving the prayer request there. You know, we get people begin to think things, and that stirs the pot. Don't do that. Be a peacemaker. Remember, love covers a multitude of sins, and we need to be making peace with people and be peacemakers, not peace takers. Amen? We can be peace takers. We can cause people not to be in peace. You know, if we are known as a peacemaker, God's going to bless. What's the blessing of a peacemaker? Let's look there. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Amen. The children of God. I know we're adopted into the family. We're the children of God. But isn't it great to be called a child of God if we act like one? Amen. You know, sometimes hopefully our testimony isn't that people wonder if we are part of the family of God. You know, ever wonder, you talk to some people and they're like, oh, I'm a Christian. You're like, okay. You know, kind of scratch your head. Maybe they are, maybe they're not, but their testimony sure doesn't reflect that. Need to be careful of that. Make sure we have a testimony there. Verse number 10, okay, let's look at footing number 8. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Suffering for Christ. Now, it says here, for righteousness' sake, that you're suffering in a situation. Now, this isn't just any situation. You know, we can be in situations that the consequences of our own poor decisions, of our own sin, of chastening of the Lord. That's not what this is talking about. This is not talking about chastening. This is talking about you're doing right, you're serving God, and the world is persecuting you for it. being called out at work for being a Christian. You know, that happens at times. You lose the promotion because you won't work on Sunday. Because you won't work on a church service. You won't do it. You could have made more money, but you decide, you know what, I'm going to do what's right. And guess what? You suffer. Or even you lose your job. Well, you got to work on Sunday or you're going to lose your job. Well, I guess it's more important to honor my Lord. And you lose your job. You know, that's where the rubber meets the road. What's more important? You know, we say, well, God's more important, and are my relationship with God and standing for God, then when it comes to his house, wait a minute, what if I, putting yourself in a financial situation where you might not be able to provide for your family, that's a scary thing. But can I tell you something? When you honor the Lord, he honors you. When you honor him and you take a stand and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take away from my worship of the Lord's day. I'm not going to do that. Let the world persecute you. It's okay. You'll be blessed. And now, I'll just say this today. We're not persecuted like they are in other places in America or other places of the world, okay? We experience discomfort, okay? We don't suffer, I won't say persecution. There's the idea behind, same idea behind it, but we don't have anybody holding a gun to our head said, proclaim Allah as your God or we're going to shoot you. That's persecution. What we see the Christians going through in the New Testament church in the book of Acts, they were thrown to lions. They were being persecuted by Saul. They were being thrown into jail. They were being killed. They were having their homes and their livelihoods taken away from them by the Roman government because they were trying to extinguish. They saw Christianity as a threat because, by the way, we look at this. Oh, really? Just a couple of people, you know, and a couple of little 10-people churches in Jerusalem? No, there were thousands of people, thousands upon thousands upon thousands. And it said they turned the world upside down. Everything changed. Everybody knew who Christ was. Everybody knew who Christians were. And even got to the point that the Caesar thought they were a threat. So threw them to the lions and made sport of them. Nero, Caligula, evil man, hung Christians from stakes in his garden and covered them with oil and lit them on fire alive and made torches for his garden out of Christians. Evil, wicked man, depraved man. They'll receive a crown of glory in eternity for their, but that's persecution. Okay. Having someone slam a door in your face when you're out door knocking, that's not persecution, okay? Let's get that out of, no, you're not. That's just how things go. The world, Jesus said to the disciples, marvel not. Don't be surprised if the world hates you. Don't be shocked at that. If they hated me, they're going to hate you more because you follow me. But if you are persecuted, And there might come a time in our country, we don't know what, how things go in different areas. I don't know. I believe still it's possible. I don't know for sure, but it's possible that in my lifetime you'll see persecution in America. All right, will we see during COVID in California because they wouldn't submit to lockdowns, that they put chains and they put on the doors of their church and they put fences around so people couldn't gather and go to church? That happened in California in several places. I think it happened in Oregon too. Happened in Canada, all over the place. That's persecution. That's taking away the rights of God's people. That's taking away worship of the Lord. By the way, you know what? Guess what? They still had church anyway. You know, in some places in Canada, they there had to go out in the park. You know what? Some places, I don't get this. I still don't understand the rationale of this. You know, by the way, there were some things about it that weren't very rational. You know, some countries, you couldn't even go out to the park because, you know, can't go outside. Just couldn't go anywhere. China, the same thing. They couldn't go outside. They couldn't go in open air because it's, at that point, it's not about your health. It's about control. At that, it gets to that point, it's about control. And you know what? That's setting up for persecution in our land. Wanted to see how far they could push it. How far they could push it. How far they could push it. And guess what? They could find out. They could push it pretty far. And a lot of churches said, okay, that's fine. Need to be careful of that. We don't know what's going to happen, but we need to be willing to suffer for Christ because he suffered for us. Not saying it's going to happen to us, but are we willing? We need to be ready for that. Need to be willing. Not only that, and number 9 is bearing your cross. Bearing your cross. We see here, verse number 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. People are going to lie about you as a Christian. People are going to lie about what you really believe. People are going to lie about you. They're going to try and ruin your reputation and ruin your good name because you're a Christian. Whether it be at work, maybe it's a neighbor, you know, someone down the street, they start a rumor about your family, you know, that you, you know, that you're a cult and you drink blood at night, you know, and different things like that. I know that's a little bit of an extreme example, but different things. All those Christian people, you know what? You know, they believe in this and they believe in that, which is completely off base. Why? And the whole neighborhood is like, well, they're a bunch of cults, oh, cultish people over there. Don't let, you know, your children talk to them. That's part of being a Christian. That's going to happen. It's going to happen. For doing what? For just doing right. You know, doesn't it seem that it seems unfair at times? You know, David thought of that. Why did the heathen rage? Why the people imagined a vain thing? Why is it I'm doing right, Lord, but they're getting away with it? That can be our thought sometimes. I'm doing right, Lord, and I'm the one suffering, and they're not. They're going to suffer for their sin one day. But instead of having that idea, we should have that idea. Well, I'm thankful that I get to do this. I'm thankful I get to suffer. And we see in the New Testament that they thought it an honor and a glory to suffer as Christ did. We look at that and like, well, why? Because they thought much of their Savior. They thought much of what Christ had done for them. Look over a couple of pages in Matthew chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. Matthew 10, verses 38 and 39. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Are we willing to take up that cross daily and follow the Lord? And some of those things, it might be to bear rebuke. It might be, you know, when we sang that song during missions conference, so send I you, right? So send I you to labor unrewarded. To go through that, if you want an idea of what it is to be, to bear your cross, that's it right there. That's a great hymn to really put that into a practical sense. We'd have to do that sometimes when we hand out a tract. Oh, I don't want that. But you know what? We have to bear our cross. And that's okay. Amen. Jesus had to bear it. Jesus bore it all the way to death and bled and suffered and died to save you. The least we can do is suffer some inconveniences and some rebuke and some reviling in this life. That's okay. That's okay. So tonight, will you make these your foundation tonight? These 9 truths, these 9 footers, so we don't end up like this. So we have a firm, firm foundation. All right, that concludes my sermon, but I wanted to go over one other thing tonight. I wanted to reveal something that Lord's laid on my heart that I think will be interesting to you in regards to door knocking. Usually our strategy of door knocking has been we try to stay close to the church in order to people don't have far to go. And the idea of that, hey, the church is in your neighborhood. We want you to come. But something that I want us to try and you pray about participating in, and Brother Cole, if we could have that next slide, we call it Operation Homefront. Okay, Operation Homefront. And what is that? Reaching Fort Hood one neighborhood at a time. So I'm encouraging you with this. All of you live in different places. Some of you live in Harker Heights. Some of you live in Copper's Cove. Some of you live here in Killeen. Some live on the fort even. But you have neighbors, and you live in neighborhoods. And so what I'm going to encourage you to do, that you need to pray and ask the Lord to help you reach your neighborhood and to reach your neighbors. So for the next year, we're going to be striving for this, that we're going to be knocking doors. If you live in a neighborhood, then I'm going to ask you to commit to knock the doors in your neighborhood, starting on your street and working outward. Now, we're still going to have our twice a month soul winning times, but you know what? I said, well, why are we doing this, preacher? Well, first of all, is that you can form relationships with people in your neighborhood a lot easier than people that you're a complete stranger in the neighborhood. Hey, I just live over here. You know, I'm just your neighbor over here. I want to invite you. Oh, yeah, I see that you're always gone on Sunday, right? And they see those things. By the way, your neighbors see a whole lot more than you think. That can be a good or a bad thing, right? And so, but you go there and say, hey, I want to invite you out to church. The first thing is you can have that relationship. The second thing, it takes away excuses. Preacher, I don't have time. You don't have time to walk out your front door and go down your street. Amen? Let's be honest. Amen? We can take some time and knock the doors in our neighborhood. It takes away the excuse of, well, I don't have time. You can have time. You need to have time for souls for Jesus. Amen? To be that peacemaker, to show people how to have peace with God. Number three, because they live in your neighborhood, it makes it easier for you to follow up with them if they made a decision and get them to come to church. So, and also, number four, it is diversifying. We all live in different areas of town. So our soul winning program right now is limited to one small area of town at a time. Now, if we have four or five or six families commit to doing this, then we have gone from one area of town to six areas of town. And so that we all can be a part of doing that. You're like, preacher, I understand. I want to be a soul winner, but I'm not a soul winner. I don't know how to do it. That's okay. My wife wants to partner with a lady that wants to help in your area, and I want to partner with a gentleman so that we're going to work on reaching our neighborhood. Our neighborhood's a little bit harder because all of my neighbors have purple posts on their front gate, okay? So we can talk to some of them, but if you go to some of them, you might get shot. So we'll leave something in their mailbox for them, okay? But we want to be a part of helping people, bring them along so that you can be helpers in that. Next year, we're going to have 12-week soul winning training during the summertime. We're going to do that again and make that a Sunday school class. And so that you can be involved in doing that and learning how to do that. But also maybe some of you is like, well, you have a smaller family unit. You can partner up. And some of you live next to each other, okay? Because you have the Kincaids. They live over there. Liberty Village, right? They live over there. So that's off of Clear Creek right over there. But you know who lives near you? Debbie lives over there, okay? So Becky and Debbie can team up and go one night, and then maybe you and Sean can go another night, Connor, and you can go out and you can reach those neighborhoods because you're technically not allowed to go knock in your military neighborhood. You can talk to your neighbors like, hey, invite you out to church, but there are neighborhoods all through there. You can knock in Debbie and John's neighborhood over there on Hydrangea and all those neighborhoods. We've never door knocked in there before. There's whole kinds of neighborhoods that we have never door knocked. Holman's live downtown, Redondo. There's Metropolitan right there. There's a huge area down there that we never door knock. We don't get down there. Why? Because it's 15 minutes drive from here usually. And so Brother Connor and I were down on Zephyr. Big, huge area down there. bus route territory. Fourplexes all over the place. Looks like Loma Vista down there, okay? Future expansion. Don't show me a fourplex. I think bus route. Anyway, so all of us live in different places. Glenn and Caleb and Becca, they live in Copper's Cove. But they can reach their neighborhood over there, right? There's plenty of people to go around the churches in Copper's Cove in here, right? They can drive. You drive a little bit. They can drive a little bit and do that. And so this is the purpose of this is to, why I say home front, is that we need to be reaching in our neighborhoods. Think of our neighborhoods as a battle area in that it's our responsibility that we ask God to give us a burden for our neighbors and in our neighborhood. Because we can look at people in generalities, but hey, these are my neighbors. These are people that I know and people that have needs, and it's my responsibility to show Christ to them in this particular neighborhood, no matter where you live. And can I ask you to do this? If you want to be a part of this, let me know. We're going to have a sign-up sheet on Wednesday. I said, hey, I want to sign up for my area, and I'll get you some information on what we're planning to do. But also, if you're going to be a part of that, be praying. Commit, please, to pray every day for that neighborhood. And then as you go and as you make contacts and you write down names and you start praying specifically for people you run across in your neighborhood, that they would be saved. Amen. And that take opportunities, because sometimes we try and have opportunities to witness to our neighbors and take some time, take some notes from people and say, well, maybe I'll be interested. And, you know, well, I don't know if I want to come. Hey, would you be interested in a special, if we had a special service in coming? Yeah, let me know when that comes. Guess what? Christmas program's coming up. And people here, it's on a Friday. Oh, it's not a Sunday, so it's not church. Well, it's a little sneaky. It is, but, you know, it's Friday. We have church on, we'll have a church service on Friday. But it's different. It's a children's program, but they're going to hear the gospel. And maybe that's a follow-up. There's lots of ways this can work. So Lord's burdened my heart with that. And then the goal is to multiply our efforts here in Killeen and the surrounding area. It says, notice how it says Fort Hood. There's many towns that touch Fort Hood. Copper's Cove touches Fort Hood. Killeen does, Harker Heights, Nolanville, all the way up to Belton. Those all touch Fort Hood in one way or another in this whole area, even all the way out to Salado and different areas like that. So we have to be willing to multiply our efforts in these places. So I wanted to share that with you. So be in prayer about that, if you would. Be in prayer, and there'll be a sign-up sheet Wednesday. If you have any more questions, please feel free to ask me. All right, tonight we've come to our prayer time and our invitation time. So let's close in prayer, have our invitation tonight. Let's pray. Dear the Father, we thank you, Lord, for this evening. We thank you for your power. We thank you for your grace. And I pray that you would bless this invitation time tonight, oh Lord, that we would set that firm foundation. Oh Lord, that we would not shy away from your word, that we would stand firm in it. And Lord, that if there needs to be some foundation repair, we need to remove the counterfeit materials and put in the firm truth of your word tonight. I pray that we would be willing to do that. You are the master repairman. You are the master builder. I pray that tonight we would submit ourselves to you. And Lord, I pray that you would bless Operation Homefront and that we would be willing to give ourselves to it. And Lord, that you would bless it, dear Lord, and that it would be more of a prominent thing in the front of the eyes of the people of this church and that we would see fruit from it. We pray your blessing, dear Lord, and I pray that as we go forward that you would guide and direct. Bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen.